standing by. For the duration of today's conference, all lines will be open. If you'd like to either mute or unmute your line, you can do so by pressing star 6. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to introduce your host for today's call, Ms. Stephanie Begat. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks, Evan. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. The topic today is RTC 3.0, New Data Warehouse and Reporting. My name is Stephanie Begat, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is James Moody. James Moody joined the Jazz Project in 2006 to bring first-class reporting to Jazz. Since that time, he has led the development team tasked with providing transparency to your development process through reports in Rational Team Concert 1.0, 2.0, and 3. Recently, James has been the technical lead of the Calm reporting solution, which aims to bring consistent reporting technology to all of the Calm products. Prior to his work on Jazz, James led a development team for WebSphere Integration Developer, was a committer on the Eclipse project, and worked on Visual Age for Java. We'll be having a web conference today with presentation material. To join, please go to webdialogs.com/join. That's WEBDIALOGS, webdialogs.com/join. Conference ID 3133836. James will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free and jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, James. Go ahead, James.
Could you please repeat that conference ID? The line was staticky.
Yep, it's 3133836. Did you get that?
Yeah, and it's just webdialogs.com?
/join, yep.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, James.
Thanks very much, Stephanie, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. So for those of you who have either participated in other forums where you get some information about reporting, whether it's through the Beta Program, Design Partner Program, or any of a number of other forums, you may be familiar with some of this material. But the format here is unique in that I'm hoping for a nice interactive discussion. So please feel free to interrupt me if there's something, anything you don't want to understand, or if you want to drill in on any topics that that I'm only touching on briefly or that I'm not covering at all. Again, please feel free to speak up. I'll be watching the web chat window, so if there are any questions that pop up in there, I will do my best to answer them. So hopefully the people in the web conference can see my screen, and I have some slides up there that I'm going to start through now. So I want to talk a little bit about the data warehouse and what that's going to look like and how it differs from the story that we've had in the past. Then talk about how that data warehouse becomes realized through the reporting story, both the out-of-the-box reports as well as the custom reports, and then just a little bit of information on how it is you get up and running. So just as a brief bit of history, those of you who are customers of say RTC 2.0 will be familiar with this. Those who aren't, it's just a bit of a historical lesson. But in the past, right, we really had sort of product level data marts. There was a small amount of data that we stored in a data mart alongside our RTC database. There wasn't a whole lot of room for topology improvements in that the data mart really was part of the repository database. And part of the limitation here as well is that there's not a lot of room for data sharing or traceability reporting either. So that is, we're pulling data from a single product into a place that we basically are using largely for out-of-the-box reporting, as well as some very targeted customer customizations. So that's sort of where we were. That's where we were in the past. To talk a little bit about the other CLM products. So although this is about RTC, I really want to talk about how it fits into the broader story of the CLM reporting picture, because how all of these different products do reporting is very important when you start talking about how you might do traceability reporting across all of these products, for example. So just to talk really quick about RQM. There was an optional install called Rational Common Reporting. This actually gave you an external data warehouse, external to the repository, and this let you do data sharing across the CLM applications using Rational Insight. As well, RQM provided some work items functionality and requirements by itself, so even without Insight, you could do some simple traceability reporting, which is kind of cool. So basically, where we're moving with the RTC and the CLM story for reporting is towards an external data warehouse, rather than a product-level data mart like we had in the past. And really what this is going to give us is data sharing across the CLM applications, as well as the ability to do all the things that we do today with our RTC reporting. And we've implemented a set of Java-based data collection tasks, or for those familiar with the ETL with the warehousing terminology, we refer to them as ETLs, which stands for extract, transform, load. These are basically the tasks that move data from a source to a destination. In this case, reading data from the point product and storing it into the data warehouse after doing some transformation on it. And so hopefully this will make it a little bit more clear, but I have a slide that I use here frequently that actually kind of shows the topology. So at the top, you can see in the top left corner, we have this CCM application. That's Rational Team Concert. And internally, it has some storage and this application. And then we have a series of REST APIs. Through those REST APIs, we can extract data. And then we have a bunch of what we call, they're labeled ETLs here. These are the data collection tasks that are implemented in Java. And they read data from the REST service, and they store it into the data warehouse. And in the data warehouse, there's really two parts to a data warehouse, right? We have what we call the operational data store, or the ODS. And the ODS is really, you can think of it as largely as a one-to-one representation of the data that's in the repository, except in a stripped-down way that's more suitable for reporting. So if you consider something like a work item, for each work item in the CCM app, there's going to be a row in the ODS referring to that work item, except it's not going to contain, you know, the full text of the comments, or it's not going to contain the attachments or any of these, you know, binary blobs or any of that sort of thing. But it will have, you know, the summary of the work item, the severity, the owner, the priority, all these things that you typically want to be able to report on. So these Java ETLs, they do a mapping from the source data into this operational data store. And the operational data store is useful on its own for reporting. But what it can't do well is the kinds of reports where you have aggregated and especially historical data. So to do that, there's a separate area in the data warehouse that we call the star schema. And in the star schema are these facts and dimensions that store data in an aggregated and often historical sort of way. So if you think about the types of reports that you might be familiar with from RTC in the past, we had a lot of trend-based reports where on the x-axis you had time, and on the y-axis you had some kind of count, whether it was number of work items, remaining work in hours, number of story points, or something like that. So those sort of reports lend themselves well to reporting on facts and dimensions in a star schema. So you can see we have this second transformation in a Java ETL from the operational data store into the facts and dimensions. Now, I'm not showing here yet how we're actually going to use this data, but this is really sort of the topology that we're going for. And you can see as well the QM and RM applications are participating as well in sort of equivalent ways. They extract their own data through the ETLs, and we put them all in the ODS. And that's actually kind of interesting because when we put them in the ODS, we have all these relationships, right? Because one of the really strong suits of the CLM story is that you have this web of artifacts with loose links between them to integrate the functionality. So you have links from test cases in QM to stories in CCM, and from requirements in RM to, say, the test plan or the test cases that are covering those requirements, et cetera. So we also store those links in the operational data store, which means that you'll be able to actually do traceability reports on this data. So I'm just going to stop there for a sec, and the picture's a lot to digest, but hopefully this is making sense. And if not, I'd certainly be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Hi, this is Paul Romanis from HSBC.
Hello.
So this looks just exactly like IBM Rational Insight. with the same topology. Is this completely re-engineered, or is this retrofit from Cognos?
So the question is about interoperability with Insight, or whether we're following the same topology as Insight?
Well, whether we're talking about Insight here, or whether it's we're reusing, or IBM are reusing Cognos, or whether this is being developed from scratch.
So the pieces that we have in the diagram here right now, which don't include the actual reporting pieces, and we'll talk about the reporting engine in a minute, but right now we're just talking about the storage of the data. So we do have Java-based ETL tasks rather than, for example, using Cognos Data Manager, which also does ETLs. One of the limitations that led us to this story is that the CLM products ship on more or rather different platforms than some of the Cognos tools. So at the present time, we don't have complete platform coverage of Cognos Data Manager, for example, on all the platforms that we want to ship CLM on. So that, as well as some other factors, led us to our own custom ETL story. However, as you'll see in a couple of slides here, when we start talking about the reporting story, Cognos is very much in the center of that. Does that answer your question?
It does, yes. We've got a sort of a mixed environment here in terms of tooling, and it'd be quite nice to access the information from those other tools like Quality Center from HP via an ETL job. So you've got XML JDBC drivers being available here. Are there other drivers that your ETL Java jobs would accept or run from?
So I think the direction that you go, are you a Rational Insight customer today?
We're trying to set up in our, yes, we are.
So I think generally the CLM reporting story that we see here with the Java ETLs is targeted today just at the CLM applications, the CCM, QM, and RM applications. So for integration with other products, including the CLM products, but maybe other products as well, you'd use Rational Insight. And where you see the Java ETLs here, we also provide, with the CLM products, we provide equivalent data manager jobs. So if you want to plug those right into a Rational Insight environment, you can pull data from the CLM applications using Data Manager, as well as you can pull them from the other applications that Rational Insight supports as well, all into a common data warehouse.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. So to shift from talking about the data to actually talking about what we were provided in terms of actual reporting functionality in the past, and again, this is just sort of a brief look back at sort of how we got to where we are today. So looking at RTC, which most of you may be familiar with, we have sort of out-of-the-box BERT reporting, and in the past that was based on our data mart. So we didn't have any cross-domain reporting there. It was very tightly focused on the data in RTC. And then when you want to do custom product reporting, you also use BERT and report on the data in the data mart. Again, there's no cross-domain reporting there. So for RQM, we had out-of-the-box reporting using BERT, and they had a local data mart as well that they reported on. But they had some cross-domain, but only if you were using the local work items and local requirements that were embedded in RQM, right? If you were actually using RTC or the Rational Requirements products, then you couldn't do cross-domain out-of-the-box reporting. And then lastly, they had their custom cross-domain reporting using Rational Common Reporting, which was an optional install. So that is built on top of the Cognos BI server and includes Framework Manager, Data Manager, and all the other tools that you'd need to pull data into a data warehouse and to report upon it. And it included a number of sample reports as well. So as you see, in the past, this is sort of a mishmash, or really it's a set of products that had parallel reporting stories that didn't really work together cohesively. And now with the CLM story out of the box, you still get out of the box BERT reports for CCM and QM applications. Now the difference here is that now these out of the box BERT reports are operating on the data warehouse, the new data warehouse that we saw in the topology diagram, not on the data mart. And, you know, for those of you who are implementing BERT reports, we can talk a little bit more about that and how that's actually possible. But what this means for out-of-the-box reports is that we can actually do cross-domain traceability reporting because all the data that we need is in the data warehouse. So you'll actually see some of the, for example, some of the QM reports report across test cases, work items, and requirements, and they can do that because we have a single data warehouse that contains all the data as well as the links between. Now, for RRC, Rational Requirements Composer, what we have is we have some out-of-the-box. Their reporting was more focused on document-style reporting rather than sort of business intelligence development reports like charts, like the you know, the graphs that we're familiar with in CCM. So for their out-of-the-box documents, they're using technology that we call rational reporting for document generation. If you're familiar with Rational Publishing Engine, it's the Rational Publishing Engine, the actual engine that's embedded in the RRC product to actually provide this this capability. And again, I mean, you guys are interested in reporting to an end user. It's the actual technology behind it probably is kind of transparent. End users aren't going to know, hey, this is a BERT report or this is an RDG document template. They're just going to click on some reports and see them without necessarily being exposed to the technology in that way. So to talk a little bit more about the how we actually do the BERT reports. So BERT has this layer underneath it called ODA or Open Data Access, and this is really the data model layer that provides access to the data by BERT, by a BERT report, and it controls what the BERT report can see. And in the past, we had a custom ODA layer that actually provided access to the data mart, and we did all the query generation and provided some nice UI. And if any of you have customized some reports, you're probably familiar with the UI and the capability that we provide. Now, what we did when we switched over to the data warehouse is we built an extra mapping layer in there, such that the reports that we already wrote, I mean, partly this was written for our convenience because we have a large suite of out-of-the-box reports, but largely it was written with the customers in mind, in that we know that there are RTC customers customizing BERT reports today or writing their own BERT reports. So we have this mapping layer now such that whether you're using the data warehouse or the data mart is actually transparent to the BERT report because we have largely equivalent data in both of those places. Some of the tables look a little bit different. They're named a little bit different. But, I mean, these are things that a mapping layer can easily handle, right? So when we move to the data warehouse, our out-of-the-box BERT reports largely just continue to function as is. A couple of them needed some minor tweaks, but it seems pretty good. And we're actually self-hosting on that story now on jazz.net. If you go run some of our out-of-the-box reports there, those are actually running on the new data warehouse, which is kind of cool. So then I guess having talked about the out-of-the-box reports, let's talk about custom reporting. So basically for CLM, the story for customizing reports is using rational reporting for development intelligence. This is an evolution over what was known before as rational common reporting or rational common product reporting for those of you who are RQM customers who may have been familiar with that in the past. So basically, this is an optional install. You can get it today in beta form on jazz.net. It's based on the IBM Cognos BI server 8412 and is able to report on the data warehouse that we just looked at in the previous topology diagram. So we provide some sample reports to get you going. Some of them may be just useful to run on their own. Others you can use as a basis for customizing your own reports if they don't meet your needs exactly. They're good examples. And obviously here you can do cross-domain reporting because you're reporting on the data warehouse. So obviously with Cognos BI Server and RDI, there's a separate web UI here. So the question is, how do we actually let the user view these in line? And so we have some integration into the Jazz web UI. So for example, in the RTC reports web UI, you can actually create RRDI reports. When I say create the reports, I don't mean author the reports. I mean create a report object which, when executed, will view the report. And you can view that right in the RTC reports web UI. We also have support in the dashboard There's a custom report viewlet that we've added that lets you pull one of these reports from the RRDI server from Cognos into the dashboard for RTC or RQM or whatever you're using. So in addition to that, there's also the possibility of doing document generation externally with Rational Publishing Engine. So I should clarify, this is a separate license is required. We're not including Rational Publishing Engine with the CLM products, but if you have an RPE license, you can point RPE at these reportable REST APIs that that we were looking at earlier, and create some traceability documents or even point product documents based on those. In the future, we're going to have a look and see what we may or may not be able to do in terms of integrating the engine, but that's sort of forward-looking, no commitment, interesting idea more than anything. And then last, of course, so just to allay any fears here for those who are writing BERT reports today on RTC, of course you will be able to continue to do that, and the same support that we had before will be there on the new data warehouse. And when I say that continued support, obviously our out-of-the-box reports are still using BERT. The data that we had before is all there. It's just that for a new customer who isn't already invested either in BERT technology or doesn't have a suite of BERT reports already, we like to position the Rational Reporting for Development Intelligence as sort of the entry point to custom reporting using Cognos technology.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Just repeating what you just said. So for a new customer looking at the CLM, you would want them to look at RRDI as their solution and not get involved with BERT.
Yes. I mean, we will continue to support the BERT in the same way that we have in the past.
We'll be looking for integration between, RQM and RTC and so forth.
So if you're looking for traceability, for custom traceability of the report, then definitely RRDI is what you want. When I say the continued support for the BERT reporting, this is really the point product RTC BERT reporting that we had in the past. Mm-hmm. So you could continue to do that today, but it definitely, if you want a traceability report that pulls data from the multiple domains, CCM, QM, RM, then RRDI is definitely the way to go.
And does RRDI connect? Can it do something with RRC?
Yes, absolutely. So let me move on to the next slide here, and I'll just show you what the topology looks like with these reporting engines plugged in.
Okay.
So here in the lower right-hand corner, you can see that we put it's labeled Cognos BI. That this is RRDI, which includes the Cognos BI server. So there's a Cognos engine in there and reports, templates, and metadata, and all sorts of things. And it talks to the data warehouse. It actually is talking to exactly the same data warehouse as our BERT reports are. And you can see into the data warehouse in the lower left, it's getting data from the RM application as well as the QM and CCM. So in the ODS and in the facts and dimensions, you have RM data. So you'd be able to then write a Cognos report, an RRDI report, which either just presented some RM data in a table, did a trend of some requirements over time, or tied together some information from requirements which are covered by test cases or requirements which are blocked by defects or this sort of thing will be possible.
Okay, so anybody that wants to create reports in any of the applications, they can use RRDI just to create their own reports.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Okay, now, I'm sorry I have to ask this question, but I know it's going to be asked of me. So someone's going to ask, can they connect Excel to the data warehouse?
Connect Excel to the data warehouse. That's a good question. The data warehouse, in the end, is just a database. So if you have a means to, you can see that Cognos is connecting to the data warehouse by ODBC. So if you have a means to connect to the data warehouse using Excel, then by all means, pull the data from it into Excel. So this is a bit of an evolution over what we've had in the past, where when we had our data marked in RTC, we were very careful about saying, please, please, please don't access the data marked by JDBC or ODBC or whatever. You may be tempted to, but you know, the tables may be slightly different between database vendors. We may change them in the future in ways that are masked by the ODA layer that we were that we were using before. So in terms of the new data warehouse, this is, by the way, I didn't actually mention this, but the new data warehouse here that we're talking about for CLM is essentially the Insight data warehouse as well. We've converged onto a single onto a single warehouse model. So by the way, I heard Mike Fox on the phone, so maybe he's from the RRDI team. Maybe he could talk, not to put you on the spot, Mike, but maybe you could talk a little bit about ways that customers are accessing the data warehouse and what the sort of statement is about the compatibility in the future of the schema.
Yeah, thanks, James. Yeah, as James said, my name is Mike Fox, and I'm one of the technical leads for the RRDI project. Yeah, basically, the data warehouse is a common effort across Rational, really. So we're converging on this one schema, and while it will be evolving over time, we're being very careful to evolve it in compatible ways, specifically adding a column or something and doing so it would not break anything that's existing. Now, in terms of the Excel question, yes, you can connect to it from Excel, as James said. It's a database. But what I was going to ask is, were you intending to load data into the warehouse from Excel? Because we're not providing an ETL operation for that and in the RRD environment that would, strictly speaking, not be supported.
Oh, no, it will be in terms of extracting data.
Extracting data. Yeah, okay. I don't see a big problem with that. Like I said, you can just connect to it. Now, loading, the reason I asked is loading from Excel is something that's supported by Cognos. So you can pull data in there. I'm not sure if you have enough tooling with RRDI to do it. That would be something I'd really have to look into. So, yeah, it may be possible. You might be able to make it work, but the RRDI system itself is intended to support this environment that James is there. James is showing here.
Thanks.
Okay.
So I had a question in the chat window that I'll address now. The question was, can you please explain how Rational Insight fits into this picture? Is Rational Insight in the picture in the future? So if I switch to the next slide, this sort of fits in with the question of, you know, what report you've talked about, a lot of different reporting. We've talked about out-of-the-box reporting. You talked about BERT and RRDG, which is the RPE engine. We talked about custom reporting and Cognos using RRDI, and we know about Rational Insight as well. So how are all these things positioned in a coherent way? And so basically, top to bottom, the out-of-the-box reports, these are predefined. Some of them are traceability reports. Some of them are product reports. We don't require any additional installation or configuration to get these working. We embed the BERT and the RRDG engines right in the CLM products. So if you're only interested in out-of-the-box reporting using the reports that we ship, then you're set. Nothing additional required. So if you're interested in custom reports, based on the data that we put in the data warehouse from CLM, then RRDI might be for you. We provide a bunch of samples. This is a Cognos-based authoring solution. The data that we put in the data warehouse, essentially this is a fixed data model and fixed data collection jobs. So if you're doing custom reports with RRDI, then the data that we have in the warehouse and the way that we collect it and expose it through the Cognos FM model, framework manager model, that would be what you have access to. And this is, again, an additional installation, so you'd need to figure that into your network topology when you're getting everything set up. Now the question is, what would I use Rational Insight for? Now this isn't sort of the definitive why would I buy Insight list, but from the point of view of a CLM customer, if you want to do cross-product reporting or roll-up. So if you have a whole bunch of instances of the JTS, of the Jazz Team server, and you want to integrate all of those into a single roll-up report as opposed to just reporting on a single instance of the JTS with whatever apps are connected to it, then that is one use case for using Insight. As well, if you want to integrate with any other applications other than the CLM applications. So, of course, Insight has these connectors for a wide variety of IBM and non-IBM products, And if you want to do integration with those applications, then you would need that rational insight, because with CLM and RRDI, we do the collection only on the CLM product. As well, if you want to customize the data model, the schema, or the data collection jobs using Data Manager, Cognos Data Manager, and Cognos Framework Manager, then you would use Rational Insight as well.
This is Sterling again with Telemes. I have a couple more questions.
Sure.
I'm not that familiar with ETLs and data models and so forth. Can you give me an example of what a customization of a data model or data collection job is?
Sure. So let's start with usually it's driven by need in the report, and I'm trying to think of a good example here.
Actually, James, it's Mike. Can I take that
sure.
one real quick?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, the customization that's required in the Insight environment is for supporting products like ClearQuest, which have a very customizable schema. So there's no way we could provide a data warehouse design or a data collection job that would work with the way any customer might have customized the ClearQuest environment. So therefore, you have to go in and modify the warehouse and the data collection to fit your specific environment. Now, in this CLM environment, the underlying product doesn't customize in the same way. You can have custom attributes, but we've provided for that in the RRDI reporting environment. You do not need to change the warehouse structure to deal with custom attributes, the same way you would if you modified something in ClearQuest or Requisite Pro. Now you've got data fields that we have no clue what they are, so you would have to do the customization manually.
Okay, so so you said custom fields or additions inside the CLM are provided for inside of RRD.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but just to clarify that point, if I have a new work item that I call something, and I created all these new custom attributes on that work item, and
yes.
it has a workflow that RTC out of the box doesn't know about, it's just me, that's going to be handled in the RDI.
Sorry. So if you have so let's start with a you're going to create a custom work item type, okay, and you're going to add a bunch of custom fields, custom attributes to it of various types. There are going to be some string ones and some enumerations and some integer ones. So you have this custom work item type. Our out of the box data collection jobs collect all of these work item types, even the ones that you created yourself, and we also subsequently collect all of the custom attribute information. So that information is all in the data warehouse automatically, regardless of when you define that and whether we know about it or not. We collect them in sort of a generic way. So, you know, what you'd expect maybe to see in a traditional database design is, you know, you have a think of the work item table in the database in the ODS. You'd expect to see a column in that table for every one of your attributes. Like there's a column for severity, there's a column for priority, et cetera. That's not how we store the custom attributes because, of course, we don't know what they all are ahead of time. But what we do have is an additional table that joins with the work items table that stores custom attributes as key value pairs. So we have a way of joining that up with the work item table in a way that lets you report on them. Does that make sense?
Sounds good. Yep.
And as well as the ODS, we also do that in the star schema, so you can actually do some trending data on the custom attributes as well without customizing the data collection jobs.
This is Sterling again. Another question based off of trending. The question is on trending. Is the data already in the CLM installation? Let's say I install RRC. I installed the complete CLM 2011, RRC, RQM, and RTC. But the server for RRDI is coming next month. So in that month from then, if I install RRDI and I start the collection, was the data already in the initial CLM installation? So that
good question. So the answer is yes. So I'm going to skip back to the topology diagram here on slide number 6. So everything that you see here, including the Java ETLs, the XML JDBC driver, the data warehouse, the ODS, and the star schema. This is all included with a standard CLM installation. So none of this is in the optional RRDI install. So all the data is getting collected because it's, of course, the same data warehouse that we use for out-of-the-box reporting as well, right? So that wouldn't, you know, our BERT reports wouldn't work if we didn't have this data. So it's the same data warehouse, and this is all included out of the box. So then, later, if you add RRDI, you'll have access to all the historical data that was already collected in the data warehouse from day one.
Excellent. Okay.
So I see another question in the chat window, which is, can this all work within a mixed environment and not a 100% rational solution suite? So, for example, if you had a different quality tool or a different requirements tool, what are the possibilities, if any? So this would go back to slide 11 here, where we talk about rational insight. So the Java ETLs that we show on slide 6 here, these are specific to these products right today. They're our CCM product, RTC, our QM product, RQM, and our RM product, RRC. So our Java ETLs only know how to extract data from those apps, which means that if you want to integrate with other applications, then you would use Rational Insight because Rational Insight has some. I mean, you want to check first to make sure Rational Insight has a connector for your application, or that you're comfortable with customizing and writing it yourself. But basically, that's the case for. That's the case for Rational Insight. And of course, when I talk about the fact that these Java ETLs and these REST services are specific to the application, you may be thinking, what happened? What about OSLC? I thought the idea of OSLC was that the implementation should be implementation independent, right? It's a common way to talk to these. So this is indeed the slide that I'm showing you here is indeed a current limitation. So as the platform around OSLC evolves, we will have the ability to do some interoperability. That's a bit of a forward-looking statement.
And that presumes, of course, that the product you want to integrate with supports OSLC.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Okay, so... So unless there are other questions, I'm going to maybe delve a little bit into a couple of. I have a few slides on technical details. We talked about what is and isn't in the standard CLM install and what's in the optional install. So basically, how do you get this data warehouse set up? The idea is that this happens during the server setup for CLM in the JTS server setup. The warehouse gets created, and the applications get pointed to it. So there's no additional configuration required for the data warehouse other than what is in the server setup wizard. And then these Java-based data collection jobs, how do they get up and running? Again, as part of the server setup, we configure a user that has access to let me just scroll back here. So if you think about the data collection, if this is running as a user, you need to have the appropriate permissions to actually call the REST API and get all of the data from CCM, all the data from QM, and all the data from RM. So as part of the setup, we configure a user who has the rights to do that, and the Java ETL jobs will authenticate as that user and pull the data into the data warehouse. So as I talk a little bit about that, reminds me that I should talk a little bit about read access permissions because these are very important to a lot of people. You say, well, if I have project areas in RTC and I have read permissions on those, that is, I have some contributors who have read access to this project and some contributors who don't, and there's other contributors have access to project B instead. So the question is, how does that figure into reporting? Now, what happens is in the data warehouse when we're collecting all this data, we're also populating a table which contains all the information about the read permission. So in other words, the list of users who do or do not have permission to access particular data. So we pull all the data into the data warehouse, but additionally we pull the read access metadata. And so then when we're generating reports, when you're generating a report using BERT, we have some, I'll call it some magic in the ODA layer that injects into the SQL the appropriate where clauses to say only select the data where the person asking for the report is, you know, has read access to the project area for the data that's being requested. So we are able to persist these read access permissions through the data warehouse to the generation of the BERT report. Similarly, when generating the Cognos reports through our RDI, it's the same idea, it's just a different layer. It's in the Cognos FM model layer where that does the mapping or the mediation between the data and the data warehouse and what the reporting model is. And there as well, we do some injection of SQL on that same data to ensure that people who are running these reports have the appropriate permission. So just to go back to the comment about the question about can I pull this data into Excel, that's a caveat to that. If you're giving anyone access to the data warehouse other than through these through the reports, please be sure that that you know what they're having access to, which is this is all the data. So if you have some private data that people aren't supposed to have access to, keep that in mind when you allow applications access to the data warehouse. So other than that, there's really nothing to set up for the data collection jobs, right? You've provided this user as part of the server setup. We configure them automatically, and we, just as we did in the past in RTC, we sort of set these all to kick off by default at midnight. So we run them once a day at midnight. You can change that schedule if you like, if you want to run them more or less frequently. We've also improved since RTC 2.0 our ability to actually monitor these things. So we now have a nice data collection jobs status page that shows you the history of recently executed jobs, shows you which ones succeeded, which ones failed, how long they took, et cetera, which is all information that probably would have been useful in the past to help debug particular problems. But nevertheless, now it's actually part of the product proper, and we don't have to go, you know, trolling through logs or looking at active services to figure out what's actually running. So that's kind of cool. And also, the topology of these data collection jobs is kind of interesting too, in that the JTS, the Jazz Team Server, serves as a central coordinator for all these jobs. So the CCM jobs actually run in the CCM application. The QM jobs run in the QM application. We have some jobs that run in the JTS, such as sort of a common job that collects project areas, users, like contributors, and a couple of other common artifacts, as well as the job that does the transformation into the star ETL. That's not really a product-specific thing. That lives in the JTS. And for technical reasons that I won't get into, the requirements ETL also lives in the JTS today. We're looking at a future architecture of these data collection jobs that might centralize them to their own application, but that's sort of speculation at this point. So for now, they live in their own app, but the JTS actually coordinates the execution of all of the of all of the jobs. So the JTS will start, pull each of the applications, ask them to run specific jobs in a specific priority order, and store the status. So again, there should be nothing here, you know, to actually configure, which is kind of nice because that's sort of consistent with the story we had in the past with RTC, you know, 2X, which was that, you know, the data mart and the snapshots, the data collection jobs, just sort of worked out of the box and had a default schedule. And I think we've kind of achieved that here as well. Then, of course, and again, I don't want to, you know, sort of get into an FAQ or how-to here, but basically the RRDI that we've been talking about is available as a separate download. So you can actually go to jazz.net today. For example, if you go to download beta 3 of the CLM products, you'll see an optional programs tab, and that's where you'd find RRDI. It uses OAuth to communicate to communicate with the JTS and the JTS with RRDI. The interesting thing about the communication between the servers is that it's actually two-way. You'd think that it'd be one-way in that your CLM application, so RTC, for example, would call out to RRDI to render a report. It would get the report back and displayed in the web UI. But in fact, there's an extra level of interaction going on there as well, which is that RRDI actually points back to the JTS and uses it as an authentication source. So what this means is you don't have to, you know, double authenticate or maintain a second set of users when you're dealing with our RDI. It's just your JAS user login. And that means when we're viewing these reports in the dashboard, for example, we make the call out to our RDI, we pass our current OAuth key, and the RDI calls back to the JTS to ensure that you are who you say you are and you have a license checked out and all that stuff. But like, there's no madness of authentication dialogues or login dialogues popping up or anything like that. So that's kind of cool. Just as a couple of tips here, you know, if you're installing this on the same machine, make sure that you install it on an appropriate port so it doesn't conflict with the JTS. I'm not sure. So this was an older slide. I don't know if the statement about enabling SSL is still the case. Mike, can you comment on that? I thought we had fixed that. This might be
Some
old information.
That's generally resolved. We have it running here. I know for a fact that it works if you have official signed certificates. I think there still may be some issues if you use the certificate signed by WebSphere. There was some interaction with Cognos in some cases there because the certificates aren't strong. You know, they're
gotcha.
Not signed by a real authority.
Right. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, and also on the port, when you're installing RDI, it will tell you that the port that you're choosing is in use. So if you try to set it up on the same machine using the same port as your JAS server, it will tell you that port's in use, pick up another one.
Right, right. So one thing that I should mention, if anyone's interested in sort of tire-kicking the beta with RDI, when I talk about the out-of-the-box reports using BERT and having a common data warehouse there for out-of-the-box reporting, we do support Derby for the out-of-the-box reporting. However, if you want to use RDI, you'll have to use a database other than Derby. So, for example, we'll use DB2. Cognos, the version of Cognos that we're using doesn't support reading data from Derby. I'm not sure how scalable it would be anyway, but if you use DB2 or Oracle or SQL Server, or either of the two mainframe DBs that we support, you should be fine. And then the last bit of installing and configuring has to do with actually getting the data models and the sample reports that we ship into our RDI. So we basically have an admin page where you can go and download these Cognos archives in the web UI for the CLM applications. And then there's a folder that you put them in, a deployment folder where our RDI lives, and then Cognos has a tool that you can just use to import the archives. And we'll have all the details of that all called out in our doc. So I just wanted to jump over to a question that came in the chat, which says we're trying to set up reporting in the CLM beta 301 RC1. Can we change the name of the RPT user, or does it have to keep that username? So that's a good question. So when you go and create the data warehouse, here's what happens. That RPT user is used to read the data from our RDI. So when you're running our RDI reports, those have to connect to the database as a user who has the authority to actually do select. So someone who has been granted select access. So what we do when you set up the data warehouse is you provide that username, and then when we execute the creation scripts, we run a bunch of grant statements on the database, giving that user, whoever you've specified, access to read the data. So, and again, Mike can jump in here, but changing that is okay, but then if you're using RDI, you'll simply need to go to the data source and change RPT user to whatever user you've specified so that they have access to, so that RDI is connecting to the database as the user who has grant privileges. Is that about right, Mike?
Yes. Basically, you want a user that can connect and issue queries. You probably would not want to set it up to your DB2 admin account or something because your reports really have no business doing anything other than connecting and querying.
Right. Okay, so and then another question's come in the chat. Is there any publication job planned in RDI, for example, to email or to post to SharePoint or a wiki or something like that? So again, the usage that we have when integrated with the CLM products is simply for on-demand rendering of the report, as well as on-demand exporting to, you know, PDF or whatever other formats. But Mike, can you again? Glad you're here, Mike. Can you talk to the whether RDI has any capability or any plans to schedule jobs such as these?
Yes, you can do that, but it's all Cognos functionality. So you would not be able to set it up through the Jazz UI, but if you log directly into the Cognos administration web portal, then you can schedule jobs in Cognos, and you can have them export to any format that Cognos supports, save it, automatically email it to a distribution list, email a link if you want people to have to log into Cognos to see it. So that's all functionality that is provided by the underlying Cognos product. It may not be exposed through CLM, but it is there.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
And thanks, everyone, for the questions. I think I've run out of questions in the chat window, and I know Stephanie has a couple of wrap-up things that she's planned. So I'll pass back over to you. I'll just answer a really quick question that just came in. Is the BERT that comes along, does BERT come with RTC3.0, or you have to install it as a plugin? The BERT engine is embedded in the server. You don't need any additional to install to get the out-of-the-box reports. If you are authoring reports using BERT, as we had the capability to use in the past, then you will have to install the BERT authoring tool, the designer, into your rich client. But the server portion, the rendering portion, is already in our server out of the box, and no additional download or configurations required.
Just to extend that a bit for the RRDI environment, the Cognos authoring tools are web-based, and they come with RRDI. There's two of them, Query Studio, which is a very useful tool for just quick ad hoc queries. I want to see this data. Show it to me this way. And Report Studio, which is a more advanced tool that is what you use to build more formal reports. That's the one that was used for all the out-of-the-box reports. But they are all there. When you install RDI, you have those authoring tools. And they're web-based, so there's no local software install.
Cool. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
And I guess that's it. All I had today. So, Stephanie, I'll pass back over to you.
Thanks, James. If you have any additional feedback or questions regarding this session, feel free to post on the jazz.net forum, and I'll just send a link to everyone in the web conference. Before we conclude this session, I want everyone to stay on the line so we can do a quick polling question. Evan, can you please do this now?
Yes, ma'am. Our polling question for today is, was this session useful? Once again, the question, was this session useful? Please press *1 for yes. Please press *2 for no. And please press *3 for somewhat useful. Once again, *1 for yes, *2 for no, and *3 for somewhat useful. Looks like the results are in.
Thanks, Evan. This concludes the session for today. I want to thank all of you for attending and participating, and I want to thank James for joining us. Join us next week when we will discuss agile development practices using Jazz with guest speaker Dirk Baumer. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.